You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition, and we have a number of breaking stories, and I wanted to catch up on one story that's has been affecting California for over a week, and those are the fires. I want to kind of sum up where we are or at. It looks like President Trump is going to be going to California Saturday just to look at the devastation, and it is devastating. I watched some of the videos, and we have drones now that can go over the area. The destruction is amazing, especially around the town of Paradise. And many people have been killed. Many more are missing. I think that death count and missing count will probably go up as people get back into the town and find, unfortunately, the remains, the bodies of those that didn't make it out. And that's probably the most important story. Today, this afternoon, the President of the United States had a ceremony. And I normally don't watch them because I'm just not interested in award ceremonies. Now, occasionally, if it's the Medal of Honor winner, I will. And I've actually written articles and done one or two shows on them. It really has to be outstanding, though. But presidents, starting with Kennedy, Kennedy started this, it's a presidential award. It's the Medal of Freedom. And the president decides who he wants to give it to. In the past, if you look at past presidents, it's usually people that have achieved something in their field, whether it's sports, whether it's the arts, whether it's science, whatever. And it's entirely his decision, and there's a ceremony, and usually 3, 4, 5, 6 people get it. And they also, this is what always amuses me, they give it to past politicians. And I scratch my head, because at one time, I really thought this was an outstanding medal, but when you tend to give it out to celebrities, and that's what Obama was doing, but I'm not trying to single him out, but you sort of cheapen it. And there's always a danger of that. Now, this time, what's somewhat unique, 3 of the people that were awarded the medal are deceased. 1 for many, many years, 70 years. And what I'm talking about is Babe Ruth. Now, I know who Babe Ruth is because I'm from New York City. And though I was then, as a kid growing up, interested in baseball, a Brooklyn Dodger fan, their major rival of the Brooklyn Dodgers was not only the New York Giants, but mainly, if they ever got to the World Series, was the New York Yankees. And Babe Ruth, they call it the house that Ruth built, because I remember when I was going to school, initially I started in the Uptown campus of New York University, which is in the Bronx. They sold it about 5 years later, well, after I graduated, put it that way. But for 4 years, I transferred down after the first semester. I transferred down to the business school. So every day I would take the subway from the Bronx to Washington Square. That's where I was going to the business school there, although they called it the School of Commerce, majoring in economics. Initially, it was nuclear physics. It was quite a change, but I think was the smartest decision I ever made. And I always say, if you got to make a decision, get all the information and make it. Don't delay and delay. And I always look back, that was a smart move on my part, because I wasn't an outstanding nuclear physicist, not in any shape. I never would have succeeded in that field, because you really need to be very, very good in mathematics as well as physics. And most people aren't, including me. I was good, but I wasn't superior in any way. And really, the finest minds in terms of mathematics and physics are the ones that should stick it out, and that wasn't me. So I quickly made a decision to go downtown, but every day I would pass Yankee Stadium, both going and coming. That was a big stop. I knew who Babe Ruth was, and he was a hero, I think, to any kid, but he died in 1948. He was an orphan, grew up in an orphanage. Kids at the time, he was their hero. He has baseball records that still stand, especially in terms of total home runs. But the key is he was a pitcher. A lot of people don't know that. Well, today he was awarded the Medal of Freedom, and I'm glad President Trump did that. Now, another person that I remember, he was on television, the Ed Sullivan Show, was Elvis Presley, the King. And today he also received a Medal of Freedom. I have absolutely no problem with these two individuals finally receiving some presidential recognition. But the one I thought was most deserved was Justice Anton Scalia, the recently, not too long ago, deceased Supreme Court Justice. And his wife was there to receive the medal. And that one was well deserved. And the Supreme Court justices, especially his friends, were there to honor his memory and to see him receive the Medal of Freedom. Now, there are several other people that also received the award. One from Dallas. If you've been in Dallas for any length of time, and I was, I've been here since 83. Well, I worked here a little bit earlier than that, but I moved in, I want to say 84. I'm pretty sure it was 84. So I've been here quite a while, but Roger Staubach was the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Now, I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, but Roger Staubach did his military service, and he was a star quarterback at the Naval Academy, and then came back and was recruited by the Dallas Cowboy and has a terrific record to be proud of. And I'm glad he got it. He's a well-known businessman in Dallas, and I salute Roger. Now, he's still living, and there were others that were also another football player, Alan Page. I vaguely remember the name. You see, I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and when the Brooklyn Dodgers moved to Los Angeles, I learned my lesson. Baseball is a business, and if there's a good business reason to move the franchise, whoever the owner is will do it, despite the loyalty of the fans for many years, many decades. So I really cooled it in terms of baseball. And then when I was going to school in graduate school at Berkeley, I became an Oakland Raider fan. And yes, you probably know the story by now. Los Angeles enticed the Oakland Raiders to become the Los Angeles Raiders. And at that point, I said, enough is enough with professional sports. I'm not going to invest my time, energy, and certainly not any financial support to a team that can move at the drop of a hat. Now, I don't blame the owners for doing it. It's a business, folks, and they have to do what makes financial sense. And if you just can't draw the crowds, and it takes money, the best teams generally are those that can draw the most people, and that builds up the franchise. So I want to congratulate all the Medal of Freedom winners, the award. And usually they give it to one or more of his supporters. They did it this time. And he's getting some criticism for this, but I don't think it's well placed. I am not a fan of giving it to politicians, though. But that's what's happened. They gave it to retiring Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah. Now, I'm not a Republican, and I'm certainly not a fan of Orrin Hatch. But he's been in the Senate forever, it seems. And under Obama, they gave it to Joe Biden. I still am scratching my head on that. I guess it's for loyalty. And I wish they would stop it, quite frankly. But they're not, because it's a nice medal. And I'm sure if you were chosen to get one, you would go to the White House. I think what they need, and this leads into my second story, they need to really refine who gets this reward. But I think it's too late, because now there are many that that they have given it to, I have no problem with. But there's unfortunately, especially the last president and even before that, there are just some people, again, I scratch my head. And that's all I'm going to say. I can see where someone has been dominant in a field, such as entertainment. I have no problem giving it to someone that's in the entertainment field. And they've given quite a few lately. You see, this is not a Nobel Prize at all. And they cheapened that when they gave it to Obama for his first year. I really, initially when I heard that, I thought that was a joke. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't earned either, even after 8 years. People are going to carp and complain about who got it. And some of the entertainers, I agree, should have gotten it. There are a few I don't. And then you have presidents giving it to past presidents. If the past president was truly outstanding, yes, I would do that. But that is very much in the eye of the beholder. For example, George H.W. Bush gave it to Ronald Reagan. I have no problem with that because he was an outstanding president. And he also gave it to, I believe, I'm looking at a picture, Margaret Thatcher. And someone I really like as an entertainer was, she just died several months ago, Aretha Franklin. But I do have problems with, I don't know what possesses them to give it to, I'm not saying a bad politician, I'm just saying, what's the achievement here? Because if it's earned, of course the person's going to show up, and yes, it's going to be rewarded, but it's that earn bit. It seems that a lot of it, well, let me give you an example, because it caught my eye. It shows the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. She's wiping a tear after being honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and she's alongside Robert Conquest. Now, I happen to know who Robert Conquest was, and they also gave it to Alan Greenspan. I think this was in 2005 under George W. Bush. Now, Robert Conquest wrote a book about the terror in the Soviet Union to really set the record straight, and I really open a number of people's eyes, a monumental work. For that alone, he deserves the Medal of Freedom. But that's what I mean by a serious achievement. Alan Greenspan, for many, many years, was a terrific chairman of the Federal Reserve. And then towards the end of his career, unfortunately, he stumbled, if not tripped. But I can see giving it to him, too. So I'm not going to comment on the remaining recipients. I'll let you decide. And there's been some excellent choices. There have been some good choices. And unfortunately, I think a few definitely political choices. Now, the second story, see, and what I would do, if you ask me how could you approve it, I would be a little bit more precise in telling presidents what should be the criteria, because I'll be honest, I'd be hard-pressed looking at some of the recent ones as to why is this person getting it? I'm not taking anything away from them, but this is supposedly was, and still is, I think, a serious award. It's achievement. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And the reason why I think they need to spell it out is, a couple of shows ago, I went over the flap that Jim Acosta of CNN, he's their White House correspondent. Now, my problem with him, and I think a lot of reporters, journalists' problem with him, and the people that watch him, supposedly he's a journalist, a reporter, that should be asking serious questions, challenging questions, to the President of the United States. And usually, you get one question, and maybe you might get a follow-up. And I went over this, that what Acosta does, and he's known for this. Every journalist in Washington knows this. He's a showboater. He wants the center of attention. He wants to opine, give his opinion. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, nobody cares. I have a show that I give my opinion. And if Jim Acosta wants to give his opinion, get his own show. Supposedly, he's there to ask journalistic questions. But many times, it's trying to call attention to him. And the issue was that Donald Trump, and this is how he started out, he argued with the president who says the illegal alien caravans are an invasion. I agree 100% with the president. Now, many don't agree with that term, and I can understand why. But if you know the history, for the last 30 years, first hundreds of thousands, then millions of illegal aliens were breaking into the country. And the American people have spoken in poll after poll They want that invasion stopped and rolled back. So even though Jim Acosta and CNN can have their point of view, fine. But supposedly he's there as a credentialed journalist. And what he did was monopolize the conversation. And then CNN sued in court, and today, well, yesterday, the judge said they have to spell out, there needs to be a procedure regulation to follow, because if someone, he needs due process. The judge did not speak to part of the suit dealt with First Amendment rights. Now, I want to play, it's a brief clip, a short clip, of President Trump responding to a journalist question on this.
We're writing up rules and regulations to make our position. I think you were treated very unfairly, both of you. I think you were treated very unfairly because you have somebody interrupting you. And if they don't listen to the rules and regulations, we'll end up back in court and we'll win. But more importantly, we'll just leave. And then you won't be very happy.
Mr. President.
Because we do get good ratings.
Mr. President, when you talk about rules and regulations, what do you mean?
Decorum. You can't take three questions and four questions and just stand up and not sit down. Decorum. You have to practice decorum. You were there. You understood. And you understand. We want total freedom of the press. That's very important to me. It's more important to me than anybody would believe. But you have to act with respect. You're in the White House. And when I see the way some of my people get treated at press conferences, it's terrible. So we're setting up a certain standard, which is what the court is requesting, and always freedom of the press, always First Amendment, but that's the way it is, and we always have the option of just leaving, you know, if we feel that things aren't being treated properly, that people aren't being treated properly, we always have the right to leave, and I think the other media, the other press in the room will not be very happy if that happens, but I've instructed my people, when they're not treated properly, you have the right to just leave anytime you want.
They should have done it before pulling his credentials. You see, I always say you can handle it two ways. You can call on him, and that's exactly what President Trump did. He's a convenient foil. Or you can ignore him. Remember, there were upwards of 150 or more journalists in that room, all having questions, and it's only fair to all of them. And most of them don't get any questions because the president has to recognize you. And because of that, when you have one person trying to monopolize the questioning, and that's exactly what Jim Acosta was doing, it's not fair to the other journalist. But my real problem is not so much the questions, is the discourteous way and unprofessional way that Jim Acosta behaved. And this is not new. Quite frankly, I think he should have been thrown out and his press credentials revoked a long time ago. And they should have thought a little bit ahead so that the judge couldn't rule that way. Well, they've learned a lesson, and supposedly these rules, regulations, procedures will be spelled out. And then if Jim Acosta breaks the rules, he'll find himself permanently outside the White House, which I think is just a matter of time, because he's very, very obnoxious, arrogant, a know-it-all. And after his performance that cost him his credentials, I would never have him back, period. Because other reporters had good questions that were never asked. Because, and I'm not going to replay the incident, but it's a couple of shows ago. I forget the number, but if you go, I always, before I forget, the way you listen to the Prompt Pop show is go to promptpops.wordpress.com. That's promptpops, promptpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, it'll take you to my companion blog for the show. And under my photograph of I'm in the studio, this was taken several years ago, you'll have links to the most recent, usually 60 to 80 shows. And the reason I'm pointing this out, for every show, I give you a lot, not all, but a lot of my show prep. And that consists of videos, articles, cartoons, photographs, charts, graphs, whatever is appropriate to illustrate, give you more information of what I'm covering. Because my time is limited, I can't cover in the detail I want many of these stories. And I try to give you the high points. So the president definitely was asked about having Jim Acosta back. I think it's just a matter of time before Jim Acosta misbehaves, and then you're out of here. And as far as I'm concerned, it couldn't happen sooner. And then CNN is going to have to make a decision whether to find someone else. Well, they'll find somebody else. They might support him for a couple of days, and they'll be right back in court. And then I think the president will prevail. Right now, my understanding, only if you're a threat to the president can you be banned from the White House. That's the only grounds. But once they put in place the conditions that you need to meet and what you cannot do and what you can do, and hopefully they have some examples, then if you're a polite, courteous reporter, I know there's always a competition to get the president's attention so he will call on you. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is asking your one question, maybe a follow-up, one or two at most, and then you give up the mic to the next person the president calls. That's the way it's always worked and should always work. Yes, you do have reporters in the past that tend to stick out as personalities, but I find the actions and behavior of Acosta beyond the pale. You need to respect the office of the president, whether you agree with him or not, and you need to respect your fellow colleagues in the press. And if you're not doing either of those, maybe a warning is in order, but after the warning, your time is up. Your time is up for good. You're out of here. Now, there was an issue whether or not, I'm debating whether I should go here. I'm not going to go here. The press was making a big deal. Well, the judge that did this is a Trump nominated for this position. Well, yes, technically that's true, but what usually happens is the senators for whatever state they're from tell the president and, you know, people in the Senate who they would like to have appointed a judge. And there's some horse trading going on. So yes, technically he is a Trump nominated and confirmed justice, but there's more to it than that. So wait and see. I will relish the day that Jim Acosta does a repeat of what he did a week ago, because then it will be bye-bye, Jim. Now, there's been a story that I have not been covering, deliberately not been covering, because I knew, remember, I'm in Texas. I'm not in California, and I think you know where I'm going. There have been some major fires out of control, what's called wildfires, starting about a week ago. The worst one is called the Camp Fire. It burned down about 90% of a town, Paradise. And the numbers have been going up, up, and up in terms of the number of dead that they found. As of airtime, it was up to 66, with over 600 missing. They don't know where they're at. Now, those 600 missing, many of them, I hope, are found. But invariably, many of them will eventually, we hope, be found dead in the ashes, the destruction in Paradise, or in the road out of Paradise. And there's some scary videos of people trying to flee Paradise, and they're surrounded by flames. Out of control, high, high temperatures. We're talking hundreds, if not thousands, of degrees. And they're fleeing, and they're panicking because it's getting hotter and hotter in the car. The flames are upon them. And the best thing to do then is you want speed to get out, but you got to be careful because a lot of other people are trying to get out. There's a lot of smoke, and you don't want to crash or go off the road. So the president will be in California Saturday. The fires have been so widespread, it's over 100,000 acres. I think 140,000 was the last I've seen, but the smoke is blowing. See, I would initially thought is going from west to east. No, it's going from east to west. And the reason why it's so dangerous, they have had drought conditions for over 5 years. And you have the city or town of Paradise is surrounded by forests, most of it federal forests. And then what Trump has been raising is in these forests, you have a lot of underbrush that's never been cleared out or burned off, a controlled burn. It's like kindling under these pine trees. And something set it off. They're investigating what started it, if we ever find out. It's a dangerous situation. You need to manage your forests, your resources, and that means control the conditions so you're never going to eliminate, but try to prevent what happened in this area. So a large area was destroyed. A town was destroyed. It could have been much worse, but this is by far the worst fire in California's history. Now, I'm familiar with California because, like I said, for not quite 5 years when I was going to grad school, about 4.5, I lived in Berkeley, California. I did travel some when I was there to not only to San Francisco, but some of the forest area, some of the beach area. So I have a generally familiar with it. And my heart goes out to them. You see, one of the problems is many people, and I would include myself, would like to live, in my case, not permanently, but many people are attracted to live in a town that is surrounded by forest. It's just very, very beautiful country. But it's dangerous when you have conditions that could start a fire like that. When you've had a drought for over 5 years, you've had coal kindling, but brush, a lot of debris that, if anything sets it off, could quickly spread. The temperature is high, a little higher than usual, very dry, and it happened. And it happened quickly, and many people just were not fast enough, couldn't get out of town fast enough. You didn't have time. The best thing to do was to get in your car and go. But people have their lifetime of belongings. They have clothes, documents, insurance policies, pictures, a lot of things that are truly irreplaceable. But remember, while you can replace your house, your furniture, your clothing, you can't replace your loved ones. And if you choose to live in a place like this, you got to be prepared. You got to think about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And you might have very little time to get out. And that was the situation in Paradise. Because these fires move. They go very quick. And the one element that I forgot to say, but it's important, it was very, very windy. So you had a lot of wind. And once it was set, it took off. And it could have spread even further. And for cities like San Francisco, Berkeley, that are actually south of this Paradise, the air is, well, people that live there, and I lived there, like I said, for almost 4.5 years, I can never really remember a bad day. Now, that was many years ago. But what I'm hearing is you got to wear a mask. It's so bad. You're best to stay in until the smoke, debris, it's just bad to breathe. It's so bad that they had to cancel the Saturday football game between the Golden Bears, Berkeley, and Stanford. That's unusual. They didn't want the athletes as well as the people attending to breathe in the foul air, so they're going to have to reschedule it. So this was by far the worst fire in California's history, and it looks like it's going to be the most deadly fire in U.S. history because the number of people missing has dramatically increased. It's over 600 and could go much higher, even over 1,000. So many of those will be deaths. And what they're doing now, they're going back in and looking for the remains of people that didn't make it out. And why this is going on in northern Florida, the fire is out right now. For now. But you have fires in Southern California, especially near Malibu, where some celebrities, it's an expensive area to have a house in, but I've seen this before, you have neighborhoods that a lot of the neighborhood looks fine, and then suddenly there's a house that's burned down because the fire got to it. So there's a certain amount of randomness. And the way you can prevent this is to try to, first of all, clear as much around your house residence as you can. And there are other things you can do. Now, I'm not going to give you a show on how to protect your home. But the first is to remove anything that can burn from your house on out as far as you can go. Have a sprinkler system, for example, on your roof. And most importantly, one of the first things that goes is power. Because what happens? The fire interrupts or breaks the electrical wires, and then you don't have any electricity. So the people that planned ahead bought generators, and they need the generators not only for power, for lighting in their house, and to keep their food cold, but what? They have wells. Remember, this is out in the boondocks, so many of these people have wells, and they need the generator to provide the systems they have in place to stop it. And then you need to be there to put it out, and you're risking your life. You know, maybe you need not only everything I've described, but you need a safe place underground where the fire cannot reach you. I think current Governor Jerry Brown, now he's going to be replaced soon in January by a new governor, but he suggested we need to rethink, especially for these communities. What are they going to do? Because in most of these situations, there's one road in or out. And if that in any way gets cut off or fire crosses it, you can be trapped where you're at. And you see some very scary videos of people trying to get out of paradise. Oh, it's scary. What you're not feeling is the sheer heat surrounding them. And they're worried that the car will stop. And some did. Then what do you do? I think many of the deaths were people that tried to get out, but unfortunately waited too long and the fire got them. And you can see the sheer destruction. And if you just see the pictures, it should scare you. So we have wildfires, mega wildfires in California. They need to rethink, and the federal government is involved, how to manage forests. Because if you see the pictures before the fire, these are very dense, compact forests. And what's interesting, and I saw this on a couple of videos, you'd see the flames going up a hill or coming towards a house in a neighborhood, and there are no fire engines there. It's not that they're not responding, it's they're overwhelmed. And I point this out because many people want to blame the government, blame the local fire department. No. I tell people, you need to depend on yourself, not the local fire department. And that's what some of the celebrities did in Southern Florida. They hired their own private fire department, and their houses were saved, and they also saved neighbor houses. And many of these are in Southern California, especially the Malibu area, but in those neighborhoods, these are very expensive houses. And many of them would have gone up and been totaled if it were not the be prepared attitude of some of their neighbors. And they had the foresight, they also had the resources to hire people, professionals, that have fought fires and made sure that the fire, first of all, didn't destroy their house. They weren't going to rely on the local fire department, and they're smart not to, because you can't rely on them. It's not that they're deliberately not responding, they're overwhelmed. So there are a lot of lessons to be learned from this fire, and hopefully we will learn them. But you have upwards of 50,000 people now that they don't have homes, they don't have jobs to go to because the businesses have been destroyed. And the common question is, where do I find a place to live? Many of these people are retired, elderly, and now they have absolutely nothing. They've lost all their worldly goods, and now they need to start over their lives. But if you're elderly, retired, you can't go back to work. So it's important that you plan ahead for these types of events. Now, I'm sure some had insurance, but most probably didn't. You probably couldn't get it. I saw videos of people in a neighboring town, but it's a smaller town right near them that can't handle providing assistance for every citizen from paradise. They need to go to much larger cities. But they were in a parking lot in Walmart. But that was for a day or two. Then they need to move to shelters and make other arrangements in other cities, because this city population practically doubled because of all the people fleeing. And they were the lucky ones. So the fires in California are wake-up calls. And you see, I know, because I lived in California, that this, unfortunately, is a recurring problem. And very little, I won't say nothing's done. And California has a bigger problem, though. Remember I said government spending is out of control? Well, it certainly is at the federal level. But unfortunately, we have many states, and California is one of the leaders, including Illinois, but others, where they kept spending money like it was going out of fashion. And now, what has happened? People are fleeing California. And this has been going on for several decades. They're tax, tax, tax. Their taxes are out of sight. So many people, if they can get out, have already gotten out. Now, obviously, if you're wealthy, rich, you don't need to worry about that. But most of the population, and I'm talking 95% plus, need to. With the taxes going up, up, and up, they can't afford to live in California. And together with the fires, the taxes and the fires, people leave. There's an exodus. And this will lead to people coming to Texas and other states. I don't blame him. As much as I loved California, I wouldn't go back. Because the taxes are simply absurd. The size of government is way out of control. And it's more or less a single-party state, the Democratic Party. So I don't see any fundamental changes. If anything, I think it's going to get a lot worse. And they invite the illegal aliens in. They're more or less a sanctuary state. So if you can, try to help the people in California that have lost everything. And the community, hopefully, will come back. I'm sure there are people, though, that because they were so close to death, even though they liked it, aren't going to come back. And remember, most of the businesses are burnt down. Initially, there's very little employment opportunity. And let me say, there were a few people in Paradise that their homes are standing. Why? They prepared. They were prepared. They took the precautions that you should take if you're surrounded by a forest. And their house is in perfect condition. But now, most of the town isn't there. It's burnt down. So even if you are fortunate enough and you took the right steps to save your house, what are you going to do, for example, for groceries, gasoline? Yes, there's an opportunity here for businesses to come back, but would you like to relocate to a town that was burnt down? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it can happen again. It could happen even this year. I don't think it will, but give it a few years, and that's what happens. People forget. Because this has been happening in California for many, many decades. It's not new. If anything, it's a lot worse because you have more people, more denser population, and you have forests that are very dense. And many of these forests are Forest Service is in charge of it. I'm not going to get on that, but and they're still looking. They don't know what caused it. They're investigating it. Good luck with that. See, what I suspect, it was Mother Nature. It could be lightning, a spark, and with the right conditions, high winds, very dry, low humidity, a lot of underbrush there. It was the perfect wildfire, and wildfires can and will kill. And I can't do justice to this, but I've tried to provide you a lot of videos showing various aspects of not only the wildfire, the mega wildfire, and what they call the campfire in Northern California, and then the Southern California fire in the roughly the Malibu area. And I hope I didn't confuse you, but fire is fire and fire is deadly. You got to respect Mother Nature. It's the Woolsey fire is what I'm talking. There's actually another one called the Hill fire. But it's the Camp Fire in Northern California, the Woolsey fire in Southern California. And a lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people lost everything they've accumulated over their lifetime and don't have a house. And it comes quickly. And while you think you're going to have time to put as much in the car, sometimes it's not. It just happens. And you go now. And hopefully you get your family out, pets out, and go. Now, I want to talk about one other story. And I did cover this. This is a follow-up. And this happened literally as I was preparing this show. It broke that the CIA, Washington Post came out with a story, that the CIA is highly confident that the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, they call him by his initials, MBS, not MBA, MBS, ordered the assassination of Jamal Khashoggi. Now, I went over this when it happened, and I said, I'm not believing the Saudis. And what I think will happen, and it looks like it's going to happen, they're going to have, you got to have a scapegoat. They're saying the prince did not order it. And that's what the prince has told President Trump. However, his own CIA, which has multiple sources of information, including the National Security Agency, and they're not going to tell us what in detail what they have because they don't want to compromise what they call sources and methods. But this poses a rather, I want to say difficult, I'm grasping for a word, and why am I? The Islamic Republic of Iran wants to be the superpower in the Middle East. The leadership of that country is not Sunni, they're Shia. If you look at the religion of Islam, and I always need to give this background, about 90% are Sunnis. Keep that in mind. That's the majority, call it version of Islam. But then you have about 9% that are Shia, and the Shia are primarily in Iran and Iraq, southern Iraq. And the Shia and the Sunni, they don't like each other. Now, for many years, they can get along, but eventually, civil war, religious war breaks out, and we have a case where Iran wants to be the hegemon, the principal power in the Middle East. And the last time I looked, their population was over 75 million, and the Saudi Arabia is over 25 million. But you can see in terms of population size, Iran has more people, and that's important. Because the major rivals are Saudi Arabia versus Iran, or the Islamic Republic of Iran. But you need to know the religious differences. They both are sitting on major reserves of both oil and natural gas, for Iran, especially natural gas. And they're major suppliers to Europe and Asia. Now, the United States, fortunately, because of independence, has discovered we have some of the largest reserves of natural gas and petroleum. And that's dramatically changed the situation. But Saudi Arabia has been allied with the United States, really, since the 1940s. President Roosevelt visited the founder of that nation. And because oil was discovered in Saudi Arabia, made that country very, very wealthy. So they've always been allied with the United States. So what do you do? Assume for a moment, and I think it's probably true, that the Crown Prince ordered the execution or assassination. Now, the press likes to say he's a journalist. He was an activist, supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, they try to deny it, but now, do I think the Crown Prince should have done this? Absolutely not. I'm not condoning it. I frankly think it's very foolish, and it's very arrogant, and it's sloppy. You know, if they truly wanted to kill him, don't do it in such a public manner. Instead, there's evidence, and supposedly there's a tape. The Turkish government obviously planted one or more microphones, and supposedly this gentleman was executed within minutes, killed, and then dismembered within minutes of entering the consulate. And it's rather graphic. The president said, well, do I need to listen to it? And they said, no, we don't recommend you do. But they generally told him what happened. And see, the predicament is Donald Trump bet on the Saudis. His first diplomatic trip abroad was to Saudi Arabia. And as a result of that trip, there was some major sales of, first of all, military equipment. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars, as well as other sales of goods. And again, they're major allies. But it's clear that the Crown Prince didn't think this through, because his actions, to the extent that they can be proved, and we'll wait and see what happens, apparently sometime next week, either the CIA or the White House will release some information. And you already have people in the Republican Party, not to mention the Democratic Party, that are calling for a split with Saudi Arabia. Well, there's a problem there, and the problem is, who is the counter to Iran? Now, Israel is there, but Israel is far away from Iran. That's not the case in terms of Saudi Arabia. They're just across the Persian Gulf. So it is a predicament. And it seems that the father of this crown prince, the king, does not want to remove the crown prince from his position. In other words, he wants him to be the next king. Now, I'm not going to go into all the history. But apparently you have a young, I think he's in his 30s, man, little experience, educated in Saudi Arabia, arrogant, wants his way, and doesn't seem to understand that if he ordered the assassination, and apparently there's evidence, they have, there's already talk of executing five, somebody has to be executed. There's a problem of doing that. If you want people to do your bidding, and the first time that something like this happens, you behead them, then there are fewer people that want to do your bidding. But failure always has a price. Do I immediately see a split between the U.S. and the Saudis? Probably not. But the Saudi regime has a problem, and it is the crown prince. And if more comes out, especially if there's very hard evidence, recordings, and more information comes out, then the Saudi regime is going to have to make some changes. And I mean replace the crown prince. He will not let go of power willingly. This is what I call a failure, a big public relations failure. And I don't particularly care for the gentleman that was killed. But you don't do this. And remember, he was a United States resident, although he was in Turkey. And he was in the consulate to get some papers signed so he could get married. What a very foolish time and place to do this. And you have 15 people come in. I kept saying, what are they thinking? This gentleman is very, very wealthy. You could have gotten a professional hit, and you couldn't trace it at all for a lot less than what these people did. And I don't condone it at all. This is incompetence. That's the only way I would describe it. So we'll wait and see. I'm sure we'll have more information next week, and I'll cover it. So it's been an interesting week. And again, since we're approaching Thanksgiving, try to do anything you can for the people of paradise and the people that have lost their homes in California. Because many of these people have nothing, and they need friends to help them. And if you're in a position to help them, please do. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.